it's lovely to see this, so many people here, and I know holidays have possibly eaten into our numbers a bit. But just welcome to you all, and welcome to any visitors that we have amongst us. And I suppose this morning, also a very special welcome. We have Norman and Ruth McCormick with us this morning. Who Norman would have been minister here from, I believe, 1980 to 86. So it's lovely to have you here. And it was before my time, but it'll be great to have a word with you and after the service. And in terms of welcoming everybody, we do love to gather for a cup of tea and coffee after the service round in Solid Ground. So everybody's welcome. Please join us. And it's good to have a bit of talk and a bit of fellowship there. In terms of announcements, the August prayer update and the August announcement sheet are available today. I would encourage everybody to take a copy of that. For the announcements, you know what's coming up this month. And for the prayer update, you know what, as a church, we are praying for. And it allows everybody to focus on the same points. So I would encourage you to take a copy of that. Solid Ground here on Tuesday and Solid Rock on Wednesday are continuing as normal. And I suppose also a quick reminder for anyone who's going on the church trip. It leaves tomorrow at 9 o'clock from the War Memorial. There's a crowd going to Donegal for a number of days, and I hope the weather there is better than we've been having. I hope it's not everywhere, because I'm going on holiday tomorrow as well. Other announcements, I would just like to draw your attention to the Holiday Bible Club, Kingdom Builders, which begins on Monday week, the 6th of August. It's aimed for our young people from P1 to those who are moving into year 8. It'll take place Monday through to Friday here in the church halls in Grey Abbey from 6:30 to 8:30. If you've any children that age, we'd really love to see them. If you don't have children that age, go out and steal some, because they'll really enjoy it. But can I also say that help is always required. And if anybody feels a desire to come along and help, and believe me, you will get a lot from it, have a word with Fiona Nelson or Rebecca White. They'll be more than pleased to see you. And then they will also be doing the prep work here on Sunday the 5th from 7 o'clock and decorating the hall. But also, if you do have the opportunity to bring some children along, whether borrowed or your own, Solid Ground will be open during the evenings so that parents can stop in. We need people here as well to have a talk with them. So if anybody has time to be here, it'll be great to have you. And if you're dropping kids off, you don't actually have to go home and come back again. You can stay and enjoy a cup of coffee. So that really is it. Just a quick thank you to anybody who was involved in the preparations for the tractor run and car run yesterday. It was a wet day, and anybody who was out in a tractor without a cab got soaked. But there were a lot of happy tractor drivers about. There were a lot of very well-fed tractor drivers about. So a thank you to everybody who was involved with the catering and supplying the tray bakes for that. So thank you. Now moving on, I suppose, to the service. And the call to worship this morning is from the book of Daniel. And it's a section entitled The Son of Man. And to him is given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all people, nations, and languages shall serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom one which shall not be destroyed. That's something to give praise about, and indeed to shout to the Lord for. And that brings us to our first item of praise. Shout to the Lord. let us pray. Lord God, we thank you for the opportunity to gather here in your name and for the freedom to worship and to praise you without the fear of persecution, and where we are allowed to be open in our faith. We acknowledge that many people across the world do not have that freedom, and we pray for them and for the strengthening of their faith and the spread of your word through those countries. We pray that you will strengthen us, as we are often weak in how we share our faith, even when we do have the freedom to do so. We are absorbed and worry about the everyday distractions in our lives, even though you are in control of every detail and all the substance of our lives. We all worry about things that we can neither change nor influence, and we worry about the decisions that we have to make, and even about the choices that we have that affect our futures, even when sometimes they have little effect. Sometimes that worry casts a dark shadow over us, which allows evil to cloud our thoughts and our decisions. Lord God, you tell us not to be anxious, so you have provided all that we need. We ask that you will strengthen us to seek your will, so that we can be content in that rather than striving for things that are outside of your will. As we praise your name here today, we ask that you prepare our hearts for what you want to say to each and every one of us. Calm our minds and open our hearts. Take away the worries of this world and fill us with the certainty of the world to come. Fill us with the certainty of your provision for us and your plans for us. We ask this in the name of Jesus, your provision for each one of us. Amen. We take the opportunity to praise God again in the words of the song, Beautiful Saviour.
I will sing a song of gladness, give Good morning, everyone. Morning. Lovely to be here once again. Again, I thank you, the session, for giving me the opportunity to come here and speak to you today. And by goodness, what a pressure today is going to be. Three things for me. I have Gary, who's going to be writing notes on how well or bad I'm doing, constructively. I have an Australian visitor currently pointing a camera at me, which then is going to go to the other side of the world. And I had those two in my head, that was going to be fine. And then I heard there's a past minister. Lovely. That's going to be pressure. But I've come prepared this time. Last time, my iPad broke. So I'm using a different iPad today. And I've got a spare one. So we're all ready to go, all ready to rumble. So we're going to begin. Just going to get our Bibles. We're going to read the reading for today. And that comes from Matthew 6, verses 25 to 34. And that's on page 971 from the Pew Bible. And the Word of God says, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about the clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. That is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire. Will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear?' For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." Lord God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your word. We thank you that you've given us a book that has been wrote by you, scribed by man, but wrote by you, Lord. We thank you for our opportunity to be able to read it, to be able to come to it with our troubles, with our questions, to come to it in our happy times, Lord. We thank you for it. So I pray that this reading will be a blessing for everyone here today. We thank you, Lord. Amen. We're now going to go and move on to sing our children's song for today. And then afterwards, the kids may leave for creche and K4C. Thank you, Heather. There you go.
Hide it under a So we've been here and we've worshipped God through singing. We're going to be worshipping God through His Word and hearing His teachings, but now we're going to come to Him. We're going to give our offerings to Him. So offerings and tithes may now be received. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you for the generosity of each person in this room right now. And Lord, let us remember that the money we give was never ours to begin with. Lord, you have gifted us and you have blessed us. So may this money go towards your kingdom work. May this money go towards building your kingdom and doing your will. May it be used for your mighty and glorious will, Lord. We thank you. Amen. Now going to come to our times to pray for others. We always pray globally. We always pray locally. What about praying for the person right beside you? So I want to do it slightly different today because everyone knows me, I'm different. So I want to do it slightly different today. And what I'd like you to do is look to the person to your left. If you not have a person on your left, you can turn back in and look at the person on your right. Make sure everyone is covered. And the person that you're concentrating on, folks, I want us to come to a time of stillness and silence. And I just want you to pray for them. I'm not looking for out loud prayers. I'm not looking for you to lay hands on people. Not at all. Just silent prayer into yourself. And if you do not know the person beside you, pray that they may know God. Pray that they may have a good week. That they may be filled with the Spirit. If you know the person, you may know things that they may need to have prayed for and do so. It's not time to make anyone feel uncomfortable, not at all. So it's just going to be done in silence. And then I'm going to close afterwards. Let us bow our heads and pray for that person beside you, Lord. Thank you. Let us pray. Big prayers or little prayers, Lord, you hear them. You hear our prayers, Lord God. And what a feeling it is to know that each person in this room has been prayed for individually. That there has been someone praying for them today. They can leave this place knowing that they have been specifically prayed for. Lord, we are family. We are one church. We should be in unison with each other. Praying for each other should be a normal thing. So I pray that we can break the barriers in our hearts down. That this can become a regular thing. Lord, I thank you that we can partake in this service. It's not just about the person at the front, but it's about each and every single member of this congregation. That we can all partake. Lord, may you bless us all. Bless our hearts, Lord. We thank you, Lord God. Amen. Amen. So the Bible has been viewed in many different ways, over many years, by many different people. One of the ways I like to view it, and one of the ways I just like to view it, is almost that of an instruction manual. Manual that can help us through our lives. Now, how amazing is it that we have this book, whatever platform you read it from, but we have the words of God given to us. We have access to answers or questions on, you know, how we should live our life, possibly what we should do in our life, the people we should be with, how we should act in certain situations, and what our purpose is. How very lucky are we to have that, that they can help us with issues that we have, questions we need to ask. We can come to the book and find answers. And this part of the chapter, now, it tackles one of the issues that many Christians face on a daily basis, and it's that of worry. Worry enters my life, and I trust that worry enters the life of each person here right now. And just on a quick side note, I want you to realize that there is, in fact, a difference between worry and concern. While they can look the same, they are slightly different. Worry is when you worry about something. You dwell on something in your head going over and over again. While concern, it is active, proactive. You're proactively going out to try and face or change the issue that comes of concern to you. It's like a parent whose child cannot swim. When they worry, in their head, they will go, my child cannot swim. I will not take my child to the beach. We're going to go to the park tomorrow. Well, the parent that is concerned will go, my child cannot swim. We are going to begin swimming lessons. We're going to proactively go forward and make sure that they can be equipped for the time in which they need to swim. They are two different things, but can be seen as the same. But in this passage, Jesus is talking about worry. So I'm just going to read the passage once more. And if you'd like to follow me, and I encourage you to keep your Bibles open as we go through this passage and possibly as we go to various other parts in the Bible. The word of the Lord says, therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. I can picture Jesus at the side of the mountainside when he's given this talk. as you probably realize, this is still part of the Sermon on the Mount. And for those of you who don't know what that is, it's a collection of teachings and sayings that Jesus has given to the crowd, moral teachings, the way he wants you to do things. And that is in spans between three chapters of Matthew 5, 6, and 7. But I can picture Jesus on the mountainside, using his environment around him, using what's around him to illustrate his point. He's probably seen birds flying in the sky at this given time, getting the crowd to look at them. You know, these birds, they have no worries. They're not flying around all day worrying. Instead, they get up, go along, and do their thing. They fly, they go to the ground, and there are worms, and they eat worms. All because God allows it. God is feeding them. There is provision there, and God is the one that provides it. They're not worried. They live each day by day. Living day by day. Jesus goes on and says, are we not of more value to them? And let's face it, in reality, every person in this room, every person on this planet is of more value. And we are the image of God. We're the breath of God within us. Genesis 2:7. Then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living being. Of course we have more value of the birds in the sky, you know. Of course God favors us over them. And of course, therefore, he will not let us go hungry. He will feed us, he will support us, and he will help us. If he is willing to care for these birds, imagine what he is going to do for you. Imagine what help he will give you. He can help you with your needs. Now, while our Heavenly Father is concerned for us and cares for us, cares for our needs, I would hate for people to leave church today going, God's going to care for all my needs. I'm going to get everything fine. All's going to be okay. God's going to look after all my wants. Sorry to break it to you, as I've done before. You know, that's not how it works. That's not how life is going to be. There's an example of, say, you have a young child and you have your Sunday dinner and you're lying at home, everyone's relaxed, the family's there, you look at the time, you know it's bedtime. So you say to the child, it's time to go to bed. And the inevitable happens. Protest happens, screams, shouts, crying. But you say to the child, it is time to go to bed. And you take them to bed. Even though they do not want to, you still take them to bed. And why do you do it? Because you know fine rightly that the next day is going to be the worst day of your life if that child does not get enough sleep. There'll be a meltdown, there'll be tears. But you've done what you knew had to happen. You've done, even though the child did not want it to happen, you knew what was best for them. That's just like God. He does what is best for us, not what we deem best. If you remember what I spoke about last time, and I had a phrase that I got everyone to say, I'm not going to put anyone on the spot. I wanted people to say it out loud so they'd remember it. And no one's going to remember it. And it was, God's way, though not always our way, is always the best way. You know, sometimes we approach God too much with our wants, what we want. And to a sense, that's not completely bad. We ought to come to God and we ought to talk to him. But it's too often that when we do it, we expect a completely different result. We expect our will to come out and not his own. Now, this isn't a passage of teaching that tells us that everything is going to be plain sailing. It's actually quite the opposite. It has opened us up to the idea that in our Christian life, there's going to be hardships. In our Christian life, there's going to be times that are going to make you worry. Regardless of who you are, what you do for the church, whatever it is, regardless, there are going to be tough times. Jesus is addressing our needs and not our wants. He goes on to say how worrying is pointless. You know, it really does not benefit us or make us a step above everyone else. In fact, it probably pulls us a step behind. Verse 27 says, who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? Some translations may also say by adding a cubit to your stature or height. But in the essence of it all, what it is saying is worrying going to do anything? Change anything? The reality is there will be no change. We can worry all we want. Worry, worry, worry. But nothing will be added to us. For worrying only takes. It never gives. Worrying can pull us down. Can pull us down really badly. Stress, worry, anxiety, it can alter our mental health in negative, negative ways. When we begin to put all of our focus on one thing, and we do not focus on the thing that we should be focusing on, we're going to go down, we could lead down a very, very bad path. This happens to all of us. But what we need to do is, first and foremost, we need to pray and seek God. We need to pray and seek God in these times that he will help us. Remember, we are not meant to deal with our struggles alone. We are not a species that has been created to be completely alone. You see, in the Bible, it talks about community in the church. How it talks about family, friends. How it talks about marriage. How it talks about a relationship with God. We are not made to be alone. In Philippians chapter 4, 6 to 7, it says, do not be anxious about anything. But by every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I feel like when we're struggling with these things, and I keep saying things because I believe that we're all different. We all have different levels of things going on in our lives and worries. Everyone's going to be worrying about different scenarios, different situations. But when we do, it really does put that big weight on our shoulder. And sometimes I've felt through experience, offering up that quick little prayer, it doesn't always help. Sometimes we need to drop to our knees. Sometimes we need to drop to our faces. And we need to say, God, this is too much for me. God, this is too much for me. I cannot do this alone. I'm not strong enough. I need you to help me carry what I cannot. Carry the burden that I cannot carry. And you may have done that before, and you may not have noticed any results, and you may not believe it. But if we look straight to the Bible in the Gospels, it's based around the fact that God came to earth and took the burden that we could not carry and carried it by himself. He's there to help us. He's there to alleviate us. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. What an incredible verse. And verses help. It helps to have an arsenal of verses in your mind that when the worry strikes, when the hard times strike, wherever you may be, you may be in a situation where you do not have the word of God. You may be sitting in a meeting in your workplace, and it may come over you. And you need to know the verses. You need to know verses. So then we can turn around and be on the offense and tackle the worry straight on and not sit back to let it overcome us and take over us. Instead, we must be active and charge at it with the word of God. For the word of God is alive and active. Sharper than any double-edged sword. In Hebrews 4:12. Active. The word of God is active. Therefore, we must use it. We would be foolish not to. It is there to be used. It is moving and it is living. Let us not be as useless as an historian who doesn't know dates. It doesn't work. We are to be Christians, and we are to learn and study the word, to remember the word, for the word will help us. If you're writing notes, jot these three verses down. In Psalm 9:10, it says, those of you who know your name, trust in you. For you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you. Psalm 13:5, but I trust in your unfailing love. Psalm 27. Some trust in chariots and some trust in horses, but we trust in the name of our Lord God. We're to trust in him. We're to trust in him. He is a God that looks after the flowers. He is a God that looks after the birds. We should trust that he is a God that will look after us. 1 Peter 5, 6 to 7 says, humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. All of your anxiety to God. All of your worries to God. And what does this look like? I'm just scanning. I believe we may have a few fishermen here who've done a bit of fishing. I took it up for a few weeks. Me and Matt took it up. We headed out 5 a.m. every other day for 3 weeks. Caught absolutely nothing. So it wasn't a hobby for us. But what we realized was the point of fishing was to get the hook and the bait into the water. And how is that done? You hold onto the line, lean back, throw it away. Cast it out. And that's what we should be doing. Sometimes when it comes to it, we hold on. We're holding on to that worry, and we're just letting it stay in our minds, and it's just taking over us. What we need to do is lean back, throw it, and let go, and cast it out to God. Throw them to him. Do not keep them with you. Now, unfortunately, this can then take a full circle, as the whole point of fishing is to cast the line back in again. And there we are, once again, dwelling on our worries, letting them take over us. But we have to focus. We have to focus on what is important and cast straight out again. It's about being obedient. Cast all of your anxiety. Not cast that one anxiety, give it to the Lord, and if it comes back again, sure, you've done it once, you'll just have to suffer. No. Cast it to the Lord once again. Give it to him. Let him take it. Focus on God. Verse 28. Why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the fields grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If this is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Very appropriate that Heather has brought lovely bunch of lilies this morning. And look at the lilies. They were not a mistake. They are not random. They have been meticulously designed by our God. They are beautiful and natural. They are incredible. They've been clothed beautifully. And yet Solomon, with all the resources he at his disposal, wouldn't have been able to put, got his tailors together, to put fabrics together, to make something as beautiful as that. And if that is how he clothes a flower, if that's how he clothes a flower, imagine how he's going to clothe you. Do not worry about the clothes in your back or the materialistic things. Do not worry about the things that are less than you. See, the birds in the sky and the lilies on the ground are being looked after to the highest extreme measure. Just imagine what the God who created you and loved you, imagine how he is going to look after you. You of little faith. Now, this is not a lack of saving faith. This is not saying you have lack of saving grace. You know, we know and understand how God came as a man to earth. He died on the cross, a horrible death. And he took away the sins. He took the punishment of our sins. And if we accept him into our hearts and into our lives and trust him, we can have an eternity in heaven with him. But it's not that faith which is talking about. It is about trusting in the prophets of God. It's trusting that he will provide and has provided for you in your life. You know, it's understanding that it may not always work out the way we want it to, but God is dealing with it. He is there dealing with it. God is there sorting it. Our worries are being cared for. We have to focus on him. Focus on him. And 31 and 32 kind of gives you a situation in which we probably have all been in when we enter that panicky state. What are we going to eat? What are we going to wear? What am I going to do? Am I going to take this job? Am I going to do this? Am I going to do that? Blah, 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 blah. And those panicky situations, what are they normally based on? What's at their core? It's normally when we take one small thing and make it into something massive. There's a little issue or a little worry, and we keep it in our minds to ourselves, and it becomes something massive. Now, I found this on the internet. Some geographer could probably prove me wrong and say I'm incorrect. But it said roughly that if there was a big, thick, dense fog, by the way, this sounded about the size of Grey Abbey, maybe twice of Grey Abbey, and about 100 feet high, one of those big, thick ones, if you were to gather all the water from that fog, it would only fill a glass. It would fill one glass. This big, massive thing that can ruin our lives and it's getting our way, and put together, will fit into one glass. How many times do we take small things and make them bigger? How many times do we have a worry and overthink and overthink and overthink? And at the end of it, nothing actually comes from it. There was a Christian psychiatrist who came and spoke at the college I was studying in, and one of the things he said was, only 70% of your worries, 70% of your worries will not come to pass. A lot of people may automatically go look straight to 30% and be like, oh, that's 30% that will. But that's 70% that won't. But all those things that keep going through your mind, all those things that you're worrying about, there is a possibility that they're never going to come to pass. Nothing's ever going to come from it. Verse 32 talks about how the pagans, how they lived in worry and how they acted in worry. They did not trust God or believe in his sovereignty as we do. They left everything up to fate. They left everything up to chance. They do not address worrying the way in which God wants us to, the way in which we should do, and the way in which the passage tells us to. Do not focus on worry. Focus on the goodness of God. Verse 33 says it perfectly. Specifically tells us what we should be focusing on. Seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. Seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. If you want to deal with worry, if you want to deal with the things in your life that are putting a heavy load on your shoulders, you must first and foremost seek the kingdom of God. Do not seek man. Do not seek yourself. Do not seek friends or family or loved ones. We must first and foremost seek God. How many times do we put him fourth, fifth, sixth, or seventh in the list? Or he's the one we go to when we have no one else to go to. He's the one we should be coming to first. First and foremost, seek to glorify him in your worrying times. Seek to glorify him in your hard times. Glorify him by doing as he says, focusing on him, giving your worries to him. We should seek to glorify God in everything we do, in our workplaces. We should seek to glorify God. We should not be there ultimately. Our ultimate goal should not be to earn money, but it should be to seek and glorify God in that environment. I've been put in this environment, so I'm going to seek and glorify God there. In your relationships, you have to seek and glorify God in them also. With loved ones or with people you don't know, you have to talk about Jesus. You have to tell people about Jesus. You have to glorify him wherever we go. Wherever we go. Jesus, he goes on to finish this chapter talking about worry, and he says, you know, he doesn't beat around the bush, he just goes straight to it. He says, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. And there it is. One of the hardest things as Christians we have to come to accept. And Jesus, he says it himself. There are going to be hard times. There are going to be troubles. You're going to be full of anxiety and a whole lot of worry. Too many people come into the Christian life and really get put down when bad things keep going on in their lives. But this is the life we have. We are never to lead a perfect life. We will never be able to. There is no perfect life that we can lead. We should be imaging ourselves on Jesus. We led that life. It's just no easy path or plain sailing way. Times will get tough. But it's what we do when these times get tough. We need to focus on God's grace. We need to focus on him day by day. Focus him on that day alone. Do not worry about what is to come the next day or the next week or the next month. That will just make us stressed. That will make us worry. We need to concentrate solely on the one day. Focusing on his glory and seeing his mercy and grace that is given to us. Lamentations 3, 22 to 23 says, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. For his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. They are new every morning. God gives you the grace and mercy you need for that day. It's like having a bank account where God deposits the exact correct amount of money you need for that day to use. And he does it every day. That money's not for tomorrow or the next week. It's for then and there. This is what God is doing. He's giving you the resources you need to get through the day you're going through. And whether or not we choose to accept that is totally up to us. That's totally up to us. Maybe we are living like the pagans, who when we worry, we just live in the worry. We concentrate purely on the worry, and we focus on ourselves and what may happen in the future. And we live this life ignoring the mercies that are being offered. It's like he's saying, you know, I don't give you this grace and mercy for you today for you to focus elsewhere. It is for the here and it's for the now. Living day by day. There's an old fable about a clock in a room. And it goes that the clock ticks and ticks every day, ticking away. Then the clock starts to think. That's 60 seconds in a minute. Ooh, that's 60 minutes in an hour. 24 hours in a day. That's 864,000 times I have to tick in one day. Next week, next month, next year, the clock overthinks. Everything piles up. 31,536,000 times I am going to tick in a year. The clock becomes overwhelmed and it slows down. The ticks become slower and slower and slower. It then has an epiphany. If I just focus on the here and now, just one tick at a time, I can do it. That's what Jesus is saying. Focus on today. God will get you through it. Do not overthink. Do not worry. Concentrate on the day you are having and live it. Seek his glory and his glory only. Don't go anywhere else. But to him. He is blessing you daily through your troubles. Just like the disciples who are on the boat that Alan addressed last week. He's going to calm you. Calm your storms. He'll be there and he will help you. Remain in him. Stay in him. Seek him and enjoy him. Most importantly, when your worries come, when they will come, when the hard times come, when you feel like you can't go on, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Let's pray. We want to seek you first, God. We want to come to you first, God. When we feel that everything in our own heads is crumbling and the worry sets in, Lord, may we come to you first. May then grant us with people to go to help us, but may we go to you first. We thank you, Lord. May we remain in you and seek you and enjoy you for who you are. A God that cares and loves for us. A God that wants to look after us. And a God that has and a God that will do that. We thank you, Lord. Amen. We're now going to finish by singing our final song for the morning, and that is Cornerstone. God of endurance and encouragement, grant you to live in such harmony with one another in accord to Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.